Judges 18, verse 6. This phony priest said to them, "Go in peace, your way has the approval of Yahweh." Well, he didn't say that after having sought God's advice or even attempting to look at the sort of mock ephod and mock Urim and Thummim which Micah had made. He just gave God's approval in a sort of arbitrary way. And yet, when you think about it, that's not the only time that you get that in the scriptures. You think of the prophet Micah giving advice to Ahab. They come to him and say, "Look, should we go and fight at Ramoth Gilead?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, go. Yeah, that's good." And then, no, he gets another message from God that says, "No, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills. But no, you are going to be judged if you do that." And he sees the vision of how, in fact, what was going on up in heaven was quite different, that the angels had decided to put a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's false prophets. So, again, too quickly assuming he knew the will of God when he didn't, like this priest in Judges 18. Another example would be Nathan to David. David's got this idea about building a temple, or he says, you know, "It's a shame that I live in a wonderful house and the house of God dwells beneath curtains, or the ark of God is beneath curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in your heart, for Yahweh is with you." Well, he wrongly assumed that Yahweh would naturally agree to David's proposition to sort of move on from this Mosaic idea of a mobile tabernacle. Now, David didn't actually state what he intended to do, but Nathan assumes that he knows David's intentions, and he assumes that he knows that God is going to agree. Now, that adds a kind of like psychological sort of credibility or verisimilitude to the record, and all the way through the scriptures, what you read is at first blush maybe slightly strange, but then thinking about it, no, this is credible. This is how things happen in life and between people. Exactly. People assume that they know another person's intentions, and they assume that they can guess what God would think of that. And Nathan should have said, "Okay, that's what you want to do, or that's what you're hinting at doing. Look, let me just take it to the Lord in prayer, and I'll make it a matter of prayer, and I'll let you know if I get a word from the Lord." But he elevates his sort of gut feeling to the level of God's word and God's feelings. Forgetting, of course, that Isaiah 55, "My ways are not your ways, and our thoughts are not naturally his thoughts." Well, a fool, Proverbs 18, takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. We're warned by Jesus in John 7, "Don't judge by the outward appearance, but judge with right judgment." And the implication in the context there is that the right judgment is that from God. So, just a little caveat, a little warning then, not to assume that you understand that, yep, this is what God wants, and yep, immediately we face a situation or we ask for advice, or we, as it were, ask ourselves for advice. Should I do this? Is this the way of God? Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, God will like that. Or no, God doesn't like that. It's rather like reading a text. Let's just take the Bible. I know the text of the Bible. We may have read some of these stories many times. And so when you start reading again, you think you know what's coming, and you think you know, I understand this, I know what that means. And actually, you may be missing something. You may be jumping over words here and there. You may be failing to actually disengage from the sort of specific words of the text and see a bigger picture that may be there that you're missing. This is a trouble with using proof texts that, oh yeah, this verse means that. And you sort of don't pay any attention to what comes later. Like, for example, Paul says that eye hasn't seen nor has ear heard the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And people will say, oh, yeah, well, You know, we can't possibly understand what it's going to be like in the kingdom. Eye hasn't seen nor ear heard. But the next verse says, but he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So, you know, that this is not simply a case of, you know, you must read in context. It means not taking words, especially words from God, and thinking, yeah, yeah, I know what that means. Yeah, yeah, this means that. Well, that means you mustn't do that. And it requires thought and reflection, and the thought and reflection arises from a personal respect of God, a personal respect that God has spoken, and these are God's words, and are not to be skim-read with the immediate assumption that, oh, yeah, I know what this means. I know what that means. Oh, yeah, oh, should I do this? Like the priest says, should we go and do this? Oh, you go in peace, yeah. Yeah, your way has the approval or the blessing of Yahweh. No, have the humility to really make it a matter of prayer and to say, well, I'll think about it. I'll get back to you. Because people look to you for advice. You may think, oh no, nobody looks to me for advice. But actually they do, because people face choices. Life is made up of choices, and they look to the fellow next to them. They look to the guy or the girl next to them and like, oh, what do you think? And it's important to them. What do you think? Even though you may not be qualified at all to give any opinion on the particular decision that's in front of them, but they're floundering. Human beings are floundering. They're swimming. They're looking out, casting their arms out for someone to hold their hand. They do take notice. And we have to be wise in what we say. And this assumption of knowing God's will, I see it making so many people go astray, not only in far too hasty judgments, but this idea that follow your heart. Well, I'm afraid the human heart is dysfunctional, shall we say. I'm not saying that we are rotten firm fruit by nature, but the mind is certainly has got a tendency to be extremely self-deceptive. You cannot equate your gut feeling with the Word of God. Your thoughts are not his thoughts, naturally. And none of us are completely spiritual, unfortunately. We are not totally possessed of his Spirit at this stage, and we are still out of step with him in the ways that we think, judge and perceive things. And this is the critical importance of God's word. Now, this is why it is no bad thing in the course of the day to just every now and again turn your phone on and look at a verse, any verse, actually, pretty much, particularly from the New Testament and particularly from the Gospels, I would say. But anyway, a verse from the Bible, and just focus on that and have that at the back of your mind. Almost the whole process of reading a series of chapters through, you inevitably end up skim reading. Now, I'm not saying don't read chapters through, but I'm saying that there is a value in focusing on specific verses and short phrases and sentences, especially when these are, as it were, from the mouth of God, when this is the reported speech of God. Of course, all the Bible is his word to us in that sense. But I do feel that by focusing upon these things, you are showing respect to his word. And this is where our attitude to the inspiration of the scriptures determines really our attitude to God and to his word. If you don't really believe this is the word of God, well, you will skim read it as you might skim read an instruction manual, or as you might skim read a novel or something, and you think, oh, yeah, I know what's coming next. I know the characterization of this person. I know this bit of the instruction manual. Yeah, yeah, I see that. Oh, that bit's not relevant to me. That's not how to read the Bible. Because we are accustomed to processing information in that way, unfortunately, you can use the same sort of reader assumption mode when you come to reading the Bible, or hearing the Bible read to you. This is not how we should be. So, as I say, think of this guy here, this prophet in Judges 18, or this priest who is really pretty crooked, I'd say, who just assumes that, yes, the way you wish to go is right. He obviously sensed that that's what they wanted him to say, and so he says it. We think of Micah, as I say, telling Ahab, first of all, oh yeah, it's all good, yeah, go and fight the Syrians. And then God's word comes to him, no. And also Nathan saying to David, sure, go do all that's in your heart, for Yahweh's with you. And then, no, that night vision appears, no, I don't want this, God says. So then, let's be warned, but let's be encouraged that God wants relationship with us. He thirsts for relationship with us, and he does not predicate that relationship upon our perfect understanding of all his words. That cannot be the case, and the Day of Judgment is never presented as a theological or biblical studies examination. Never. It is about the spirit of our relationship with him. But within that spirit of relationship, we as the humans and he as the God in the relationship, we should value and respect his words and not assume so quickly that we know God's will.